Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Mario Williams has him around the waist and he drops him. Super Mario gets in on the sack party.
Yeah! Let's go, Buffalo!
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Ball into the end zone. It is intercepted. It is picked off. Aaron Williams made a leaping interception in the end zone.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. More draft talk tonight on the show, with the draft just 6 days away. John Brinkus, the host of Sports Science, talks about some of the tests they put this year's draft prospects through. Charlie Uke is the producer of the NFL Network's coverage of the draft. He'll join us at 8 o'clock. And we're going to talk about offensive lineman Zach Martin of Notre Dame with Eric Hansen of the South Bend Tribune at 8:30.
This place is pandemonium.
Finds a crease up the middle, dodges a man at the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Fred Jackson.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
All right, here we go. Friday night, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, with the draft 6 days away. Can you wait 6 more days for the NFL draft? I barely can. We got a tweet a little bit ago. We're tweeting out what we're doing on the show. J. James tweets in, John Murphy Show, how sick of draft coverage are you at this point? I'm not sick of it. I mean, we're producing draft coverage. What do you mean? How could I be sick of something that we're cranking out there? Not sick of it yet. In fact, I feel reinvigorated about the draft. When we come back here next Monday after the weekend off, the draft is going to be days away. And we're already making our plans for coverage of the draft, the first, second, and third days of the draft. And it all starts with, I want to do a little plug right off the top here. It all starts with our Buffalo Bills draft special on TV. It's next Wednesday, May 7th, 7 o'clock on WKBW-TV, Channel 7 in Buffalo. Also going to air in Rochester on Wham TV, Channel 13. Myself, Chris Brown, Alexandra Vitale, Jeff Russo. We'll talk with a number of people, Doug Whaley, Jim Monos, the Bills player personnel man, E.J. Manuel. He relives his big draft day from a year ago. Charles Davis of the NFL Network. We've got a good show. We're getting it all set up over the weekend and the next few days, and you can see it, our Buffalo Bills draft special next Wednesday night, May 7th, 7 o'clock on WKBW-TV, Channel 7 in Buffalo, also airing in Rochester on Wham TV, Channel 13. So am I sick of draft coverage? No, not at all. We're getting excited about it. It's all going to ramp up next week. Next Thursday, day one of the draft, first round of the draft, we'll be on the air starting at our usual time, 7 o'clock, right here on our flagship in Buffalo WGR Radio. And we're going to continue our coverage right through the end of the first round. So we're on the air. The first round will probably end, I would guess, around, 10:30, 11 o'clock on Thursday night. We'll be here throughout with draft coverage. We'll hear the draft picks as they come off the board. We'll get reaction from Bills decision makers. Hopefully we'll have the Bills draft pick on and other special guests as well. So that's next Thursday night. If you're driving around, if you prefer radio coverage to what you might get on TV, this is the place to go for draft coverage. Next Friday night, week from tonight, as you know, rounds 2 and 3. And the draft starts at 8 o'clock Thursday next week, starts at 7 o'clock next Friday night. And so that coincides directly with our show. We'll be on the air live Friday night to cover round 2 and as much as round 3 as we can get in from 7 to 9 p.m. And then, of course, there'll be coverage on our flagship here in Buffalo all weekend long, including Saturday. Sal Capaccio and Joe Biscaglia and special guests throughout the weekend. So the NFL draft is upon us. Talking about the draft tonight, a couple of draft-related guests tonight. We're going to talk, you've probably seen this guy, you've probably seen the show on ESPN, Sports Science, where they use technology to do measurables on speed and length and height and weight and velocity and apply all these engineering and scientific principles to the science of sport. Well, the host of that show, John Brinkus, is going to join us live tonight at 7:30. They've done a study on a variety of prospects in this year's draft. They did it appears, at the Combine. I'll ask John about that, including Sammy Watkins and Mike Evans and Eric Ebron. Last year, they did a comprehensive study of E.J. Manuel before the draft, and he graded out very well on this show. John Brinkus, the host of Sports Science, going to join us tonight at 7:30. Some of the measurables, some of the scientific aspects of measuring what these prospects can do. Coming up at 8 o'clock, imagine this, the NFL Network. I mean, they've been all over the draft for the last several months, and starting on Thursday night when the draft begins, the NFL NFL Network starts 51 or 57 hours of continuous programming.
I believe it's 51 hours.
51 hours of programming, Jay. I mean, you're whining about trying to put together 2 hours here for our show.
Yeah.
Don't deny it. 51.
And we get commercial breaks and all that, yeah.
51 hours of draft coverage coming up starting next Thursday on the NFL Network. The producer for it, Charlie Uke, is going to join us at 8 o'clock tonight from Los Angeles to tell us what's coming on. What are you going to do? How do you make the draft interesting for 51 hours? And coming up at 8:30, we keep hearing the name of the offensive lineman from Notre Dame being mentioned, not necessarily linked to the Bills, but certainly a name that's being pushed up the draft board, it would seem. And it is Zach Martin from Notre Dame. We talked to Zach at the Senior Bowl in Mobile back at the end of January. Great kid. Loved him immediately. And now people are talking about him not just as a first-round pick, but maybe first half of the first-round pick. Maybe somebody that winds up on the Bills roster as they draft in the first half of the first round. So to talk about Zach Martin, to talk about his career with the Irish, and to talk about some of the other prospects in the draft from Notre Dame, we'll have Eric Hansen from the South Bend Tribune. He is the beat writer covering Notre Dame football in South Bend. So that's the guest lineup tonight. We want to hear from you tonight, and it is about the draft that we want to hear. We're, as we said, 6 days away from the round one of the draft next Thursday, a week away from rounds two and three, and 8 days away, right about this time, I would think, in 8 days, that's Saturday, May 10th, if you're keeping score at home, the draft will be over. When that hits, 8 days from now, May 10th, draft is over, 7, 8 o'clock at night on Saturday, May 10th, what do you hope the Buffalo Bills have in their pocket from this draft? What would be a successful draft for the Buffalo Bills, 8 days? Not just first round. Not just, this guy, that guy, not one name. What would constitute a successful draft in your mind for the Buffalo Bills? What would it look like for you? It could be a specific player. Maybe there's just one guy you have your eye on, one guy you have your mind on this year. It could be one specific position. Maybe you feel like the Bills have to get this. They have to get that. Maybe it's a variety of positions filled or a couple of different players. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. That's what we want to start the conversation with tonight. What would a successful draft for the Buffalo Bills look like when this draft is over in 8 days? Lines are open, 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-552-550. You can reach out and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. What would be the perfect draft for the Bills in your mind? Is it just one player? Are there a couple of players? Are there a couple of positions you're interested in? Give us a call. Let us know what you think, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550. As I said, you can also tweet in your response, and we've already got a lot of tweets on this. Coey Schefter tweets in, Mike Evans or Manziel? Let me see. As I go down these, TJ Never tweets in, trade down in the first draft, Zach Martin, have 2 seconds, best player available at 2A and 2B. He thinks that would constitute a successful draft. Matt Williams tweets in, I have total confidence that the current Bills management will recruit well both at and after the draft. They prepare well. And David Weaver tweets in, can we please get an elite tight end for once? In your mind, what would constitute a successful draft for the Buffalo Bills? An elite tight end? Johnny Manziel? A particular player you have in mind? I have some thoughts on that, but want to hear yours. The lines are open at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550. For me, the perfect draft for the Buffalo Bills, and keep it reasonable, by the way. I mean, you can't have Clowney and Watkins and Evans and Manziel. You know, keep it reasonable. I mean, within the, at least it's got to be believable that this might happen. My perfect draft for the Buffalo Bills, 8 days away, draft is over. What would the Bills draft look like? In my mind, they'd have wide receiver Mike Evans on the roster. Maybe he can somehow fall to number 9. I don't think that's likely at this point, but it could, especially if there's a second quarterback picked in those first 8. And maybe they have to move up a little bit to get Mike Evans. Maybe he won't be there at 9. Maybe they'll identify the fact that they have to move up a little bit. So in my perfect draft, Mike Evans from Texas A&M, the receiver, is on the Bills roster. In my perfect draft, in the second round, they have an offensive tackle, somebody who can play. Maybe Cyrus Kwanjo. He's probably more likely to be in the first round, late first round. Maybe Moses Morgan of Virginia. Maybe Jack Muhart of Ohio State. But an offensive tackle, an offensive lineman at least, but an offensive tackle coming in the second round. That would constitute my perfect draft for the Bills. Third round for the Bills, if he lasts that long, if he's on the board, third round, I would love it if they took the Wisconsin linebacker Chris Borland. Again, one of our Senior Bowl standout guys that we really like. As the draft moves along, maybe fourth round, maybe they get a tight end like Arthur Lynch from Georgia. I'd like to see him add a cornerback, defensive back, probably a corner, maybe some depth at safety. And as the draft gets deep, I wouldn't mind a developmental quarterback. And as frequent listeners to this show know, I'm pretty much all in on EJ this year. Let's see what he can do. Let him go. Let him play. Turn him loose. Start him on opening day and let him play as long as he can. Hopefully play well. But I wouldn't mind a developmental prospect to back up at quarterback along with Thad Lewis. Who am I thinking of? I mean, I don't know that Savage from Pittsburgh will be available too deep into the draft. He might be a fifth, sixth, seventh rounder, I would think. I didn't think a whole lot of David Fales from San Jose State, but if it's sixth round, seventh round, I can go with that. And, you know, I think you'd have to go a little bit earlier to get Thomas from Virginia Tech, but, you know, I don't know if I'd spend anything higher than a fifth round on him. But that quarterback, a developmental prospect at quarterback, would be on my list of the perfect Bills draft. That's my list. Mike Evans, somehow, an offensive lineman, Quanjo Morgan from Virginia, maybe, linebacker Chris Borland, a tight end, a corner, maybe a cornerback. They only have six picks, so my list is overstuffed as it is. But give it your thoughts. What makes a perfect draft for the Bills? Now, it'll be all over 8 days from today. It'll be all over on Saturday, May 10th. What would constitute your perfect draft for the Buffalo Bills? 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Let's start things off with Edric in New Jersey. Hello, Edric. How are you?
Hey, John. How you doing? Thanks
okay.
for having me on. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Yours doesn't sound too bad, but I'm thinking, John, in that first round, if we can come out with either Mike Evans or Eric Ebron, I think I'll be real happy with that. Second round, I think I'm going to stay on offense and one of those tackles. Juwan James or Richardson, with Tiny Richardson, I think would be a good right tackle. Third round, John, I go back to defense. I like Kareem Martin from Carolina. Big guy, can help us in the run defense. Fourth round, I think we go for cornerback depth, safety. And then the fourth round, this is one of my favorite picks. And I think you might remember him from the Senior Bowl because he had a founding week, and that's Crockett Gilmore, the tight end.
Yep.
I really think that kid can really translate to the NFL well, and I think he might be good. And those are my five rounds, and then six and seven, you know, just I guess just go developmental or whoever a position that you think you need to upgrade or, you know, whatever you want to go with that seventh round pick that we have there. But those five picks would really be ideal for me.
All right.
You know, tight end, tackle, defensive end, and hopefully if we can come up with Gilmore, I'll be excited.
All right. I hear what you're saying. Thanks for your call, Crockett Gilmore from Colorado State. You know what I left off my wish list for the perfect draft is a running back. And I think the Bills are interested in adding a running back. And I think West from Towson would be a guy that might fit in here. I just wouldn't want to spend anything higher than I wouldn't want to spend anything higher in a fourth rounder on him, and he probably will go before the fourth round. So I wouldn't reach to get a running back, but it'd be nice to have a running back when it's all said and done. It's our wish list for the NFL draft when it's all over, and I mean all over, seventh round complete, supplemental picks, all over in 8 days. What do you want to see on the Bills roster? What do you want to see in the Bills draft chart? 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let's go to Tim. Good evening, Tim. Welcome. You're on the show.
Hey, John, I think you're the best announcer in the NFL, so thank you for all you do.
You're welcome.
But I want to tell you, I'm confused because I'm 40 years old. I've been watching for a long time, and I think a transition is happening right now. When I get the NFL ticket, I want to watch Carolina, San Francisco, and Seattle. And I don't think the AFC has caught up to that. I would mortgage and leverage everything to get defenses like those teams because their quarterbacks are not as good as Brady. They're not as good as Manning. They're not as good as Breeze. They're not as good as, Murray or Rodgers in Green Bay.
Yep.
I would just go defense. We're closest to defense. Let's get the best darn defense in the game. And then go from there. So I would go after Clowney and Mack and all defense. And we already have our mobile, agile quarterback. That's what we went after. Now add tools after that to the fact, and that's where I would go.
Right.
I appreciate your time, John.
Thanks, Tim. Your perfect Bills draft is a defensive draft. And I can I can understand that. What would be a successful draft for the Buffalo Bills? That's the question we put on the table tonight. And if you have a thought on that, 803-0550 is the number to call. Let's go to Philadelphia, where Jim is standing by. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Hey, Murph. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
Murph, you know, I've heard more. I heard Joe Biscaglia today talking about Troy Nicholas and that he's got the body of like a Gronkowski. I'm thinking more get the tackle in the first round. But what I would love to do is I'd love to see them trade back and get Zach Martin and then get another second-round pick, and maybe they can get Troy Nicholas and maybe somebody like Scott Crichton to shore up as a defensive end depth. I think that would just be ideal to do something similar to what they did last year.
Ninth overall seems high for Zach Martin. I think we can all agree on that, right?
So if they could trade back to 15th or 16th, yeah, get that extra second-round pick, that would be ideal.
Right. Well, all right.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I'd love to see a running back later. And one guy I have my eye on, too, is the receiver from Ole Miss, who's a tall, big-bodied receiver, and I think he's got some potential maybe in the fourth round. So, we're excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm excited, too. Thanks for your call. And you mentioned a couple of Notre Dame guys, which makes me glad that we have a Notre Dame beat writer, Eric Hansen, coming on at 8:30, because we will ask him about Zach Martin. We will ask him about Troy Nicholas as well and how he thinks he might project to the NFL. Your perfect draft when it's all said and done for the Buffalo Bills, what would it look like? A particular player, a particular position or positions? Let us know. The phone lines are open. Dave and Elma. Hi, Dave. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, we all got to remember we don't have a sixth round this year, so picking up a quarterback late might be tough without the sixth round draft pick.
Yeah, you're killing our fun, Dave.
I'm going to disagree with almost everybody down at year 55. I want Jake Matthews. I want him big time at number 9. We haven't had an elite offensive line since the days of Kelly and Thurman, and needless to say, we haven't made the playoffs since then. I want Jake Matthews. Second round, I want another Texas A&M guy, Jay Samaro. And then after that, they take the best player available. If it's Martavius Bryant in the third round, that's fine. But I want those two guys from Texas A&M on our team.
Tell me why
that's
you're
what
so
I'm looking for.
Tell me why you're sold so strong on Jake Matthews. What do you like about him?
Everything. The guy is just an all-around stud. I mean, I would take Taylor Lewan if Matthews is gone. I want an offensive tackle. We need it big time. And I don't know, we struggle to run. I know we run a lot, but we struggle to run.
They're number two rushing team in the league last year, you know.
What's that?
They were second, I believe, in rushing yardage last year, the Bills.
Yeah, but how many rushing attempts did they have, too?
I believe they were, number one in the league in attempts, but
yeah, so
they hammered away at it.
I think the offensive line is where we got to go. I mean, I think Fitzpatrick made the line look good a couple years ago because he got rid of the ball quick. We need an elite offensive line. It's not there yet. A team that will go on the road in big games and be able to push a defensive line around. We just need that big time. That's what I'm thinking.
All right, Dave, thanks for your call. We're talking about the perfect Bills draft. What would it look like 8 days from now? What would your perfect draft for the Buffalo Bills look like? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number to call. Yeah, the Bills were number two in rushing yards, number one in rushing attempts, and right in the middle of the pack, 14th in yards per rush. So, yeah, they got a lot of rushing yards because they ran it a lot, but they were pretty effective running the ball, I think, last year, in the last couple of years, too. Dan in West Seneca. Welcome, Dan.
What's up, big guy? Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
Really a fan of what the guy from Philadelphia was saying, trade back, grab an offensive tackle first. If you can get into the early 20s, late 20s, I think we can get someone like that guy from Virginia, that Moses kid.
Mm-hmm.
I also like, do you know if we had a pre-draft visit for Austin Seferian Jenkins by any chance?
I think the Bills did. Can I check on that? I have a list hand and not at my fingertips. I'll get that back to you on that about all the pre-draft visits. Actually, Chris Brown compiled the list, but I'll get back to you on that. I believe he was here.
Okay. Go ahead.
Thanks for him. Yeah, go ahead.
Hold on. All right. that kid, Austin Seferian Jenkins, I like that kid a lot. I've been watching this kid in college. He played basketball and football his freshman year.
He's a monster, right? 6'7"?
Yeah, he's big, man. He's real athletic, soft hands. He won the John Mackey Award this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that's the best tight end in the nation. He did that on a fractured foot. So that's pretty outstanding. And I think Eric Ebron's a little overhyped for a 6'4 tight end. I don't think he's going to cause that many mismatches in the NFL.
All right, thanks. Yes, and Austin Seferian Jenkins, the big tight end from Washington, did in fact make a pre-draft visit here to One Bills Drive. Max in Amherst. Hello, Max. You're on the air.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Okay.
I'm actually coming from school. I go to school with your son. Anyway,
okay.
I think the Bills are going to go defense. I was listening to a caller a couple minutes ago who was talking about building a defense sort of like Carolina and San Francisco, and I think that if they have a chance, I think they're going to trade up. If not, I think they should trade down and kind of stockpile picks and build that defense.
Okay, yeah, an earlier caller said that. You know, as Doug Whaley points out, you need a partner to trade down with, and it's the kind of a draft what is, you know, with all the talent that's there, it's the kind of a draft where everybody's going to want to trade down if they can. So, yeah, I mean, that would be ideal to pick up extra picks, especially since they only have six. Craig in Rochester. Hi, Craig. You're on the air.
Good evening, Murph. In my eyes, you got to get Ebron, Evans, or Watkins. I would do Ebron just because we have a good, you know, decent talent at wideout, so I think he adds another dimension. But even if you have to move up and sacrifice a pick this year or the year after, you do it. Yeah, then in the second round, grab that kid from Alabama, the offensive lineman Alejandro, or I can't pronounce it.
Quanjo, Cyrus Quanjo.
Yeah. My wild card, though, is if in the fourth round, go after Aaron Murray from Georgia. I loved him as a quarterback. I think his injury, if he would not have been injured, he would be talked about a lot more. The only criticism is his size, but, you know, Breeze, Russell Wilson, those guys have done it. And I think it's just an insurance policy. It's not going to hurt. You still have EJ start, but you never know. If you have to go back, at least you have somebody with intriguing depth, you know, either way. So I think you load up on offense and, you know, give EJ every shot you can for it.
All right. Thanks for your call, Craig. If he's there, I mean, some draft experts have Murray going in the third round. He might be there in the fourth if he's there. I think any quarterback they draft, you know, and they're not going to draft one first and second and maybe not even the third round, I wouldn't think. Any quarterback they draft is after that is going to take a back seat to Thad Lewis when it comes to being the backup. Any quarterback they draft or a quarterback they sign in the post-draft period is going to be a developmental arm. You know, a guy who comes in and maybe competes for, I believe, the number three job, not even the number two. That's how much I think they like Thad Lewis. That's how much I think, that's how much better I think Thad Lewis will be in his second year in the system. Think about that guy. Walked into here the week before the season opener, right? And, you know, learned a whole new offense. I believe his third offense of the year. So I think they feel pretty good about Thad Lewis as the backup. So my contention is any quarterback they pick up over the next week or two is going to compete for the third job here. Nick in Rochester. Nick, you're on the air.
I just think the Bills should go with the best available playmaker if they end up picking at nine. I know Bill Polian said if you draft in the top 10, you got to go with a guy that either helps you score points or prevent points. And I hope they can just go for a playmaker they covet. And if he's not there, I'd like him to trade back. But I don't want to see him take an offensive tackle. I think there's good depth and they can get one later. So hopefully they can just get a playmaker because those are kind of tough to bring in the Buffalo free agency.
All right, Nick, thanks. Yeah, and you're quoting Polian as I have often on this show with the very same quote. I think it makes a lot of sense. If you've got a premium pick, those top 10, you want somebody who either puts points on the board or keeps points off the board. It gets a little tricky, I think, trying to define that on the defensive side of the ball, but I think he's referring to big playmakers, you know, guys who get sacks or guys, you know, total lockdown corners, guys who keep points off the board. I think Polian makes a lot of sense when he talks about that. We will continue this discussion as the evening goes along. Your perfect Buffalo Bills draft, which is coming up next weekend, as you know. When it's all said and done on Saturday, what would that perfect draft look like? We'll take more phone calls when we return. But when we come back, we're going to be on the line with the host of Sports Science on ESPN, John Brankus. They've done a remarkable number of studies with some of the draft prospects over the last several years. We'll talk with him about some of that when we return. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Draft coming up next week, the NFL draft. We talk about it a lot. We'll continue to get your phone calls on what would constitute a successful Buffalo Bills draft. But I want to talk a little bit about a show that you probably have seen on ESPN over the years, Sports Science, the Emmy Award-winning Sports Science program on ESPN, where they kind of delve into the science and engineering of sports. The host of ESPN Sports Science joins us live on the line right now, John Brankus. John, are you there?
I am here.
Thank you very much for being on the air with us. Big fan of you and the show. I think you guys do amazing work, John.
Oh, awesome. I really appreciate it.
Hey, I read somewhere where the sports science episodes are actually, you make a studio out of an old airport hangar in Los Angeles. Is that correct?
We did. We used to. When we were actually back in the old Fox Sports days when we first started out, we actually were in a converted airport hangar, which was pretty cool. Actually, Tesla now is in the hangar where we were shooting for season two. We're now we have a 27,000 square foot building that's in Burbank, right near an airport. But now it's not an airport hangar. Now it's a big giant warehouse that we converted.
So you've gone big time with sports science then.
Yeah.
Things
have gone really well. We're in season seven now. We've done over 700 different segments, and we feel very blessed for all of our success.
John Brenkus is our guest. He's a host of Sports Science on ESPN. And what we want to talk to you about is the NFL Combine special that aired a couple of Sundays ago, part of ESPN Sports Science. Do you shoot that at the Combine, or do you bring guys out to Los Angeles to shoot all that?
Yeah, we bring them out to Burbank at the studio. So, we've been doing our Combine. This is the fifth year that we've been doing it for ESPN. And, we've got 30 of the top guys in. And we put them through our position-specific tests. We have a very complex metric that we've created over the years that we feel, gives a really good indication as to whether or not someone's going to be able to perform at a high level at the next level.
Yeah, John, who came up with these position-specific tests? And just can you give us an example of maybe a couple of different positions, like what tests for wide receivers, say, and what tests for offensive linemen?
Really the inspiration for the specificity of our test is the fact that, the NFL Combine is sort of broad in general and doesn't really test anything that we feel is particularly relevant. They're having guys run 40 yards in a straight line in their underwear.
Yeah.
And we just feel that doesn't, that's not particularly relevant to the sport of football. So we have, for example, in the position of quarterback, we have an eye tracker on them that looks where their pupils are looking to, so we can see how quickly a target is identified. And then how quickly they release the ball. We have accelerometers on their wrist to measure, angular velocity of their arm when they're throwing, and sensor targets with chronographs built into them so that we can tell the velocity of the ball and the spin rate of the ball. We're looking at accuracy from the pocket from varying distances, when rolling to the right and left, when throwing a touch pass. We have all kinds of different things that we do for quarterbacks. But then for a cornerback, or a defensive back, we're looking at how quickly they change direction and react to a ball, how far they can lay out and get a finger on the ball, what their real range is, all different kinds of stuff, stuff that's not relevant for a quarterback but is very relevant for a D-back. And from this position-specific tests, you get a really – you can then really analyze someone and determine what we feel is a scientific determination as to what the probability is that they'll succeed at the next level.
Well, and what got our attention here in Buffalo a year ago, John, was the ESPN Sports Science NFL Combine special when you analyzed some of the quarterbacks and put E.J. Manuel through some of those tests. A lot of people were surprised that the Bills chose E.J. Manuel in the middle of the first round last year, but I can't imagine after the test you put him through, you guys were surprised last year, huh?
Yeah, last year, I believe we were the only major organization that said E.J. Manuel was the best quarterback in the draft. We've spoken to people within the Buffalo Bills organization who said that, our sports science segment, obviously they didn't make their decision based on sports science, but it certainly was something that helped them make their decision. We just feel that there's a ton of upside to E.J. And I think that you saw that in this past season, when he was healthy and in the game consistently, he was really looked pretty good. He was performing really well. I think that there's a ton of upside for EJ. Before EJ, we said that, Colin Kaepernick was the best quarterback in his draft. And that was the Cam Newton draft. And, what was interesting about that is he didn't play at all rookie year, but we told everybody just wait till he gets in the game. As soon as that guy gets in the game, I think that he's going to do really well. So I'm very optimistic that EJ is going to be an amazing quarterback.
You know, one of the things that caught my attention on the EJ tests a year ago, John, was accuracy percentage. You have 2 foot targets about 15 yards away. EJ hit him 90% of the time, which is pretty high. I mean, that indicates that, well, it was, I think you guys reported out the average was about 50%, and EJ hit him 90% of the time. That's very strong for him, isn't it?
It is strong, and really, he actually set a record on a touch pass test, which is a pass from 20 yards away. You know, and he beat the record that was previously set by Colin Kaepernick. So that the test that we have, you know, you really do separate good from great very quickly as you're increasing the chance of making the target more difficult to hit. You know, and it's something that we've really seen. We've never had somebody in the lab who tested very well in the lab, but then wasn't a high performer at the next level. So you know, we're feeling very good about, you know, certainly where EJ is and what his future holds.
Live on the line with John Brankus. He's the host of ESPN Sports Science. They did their NFL Combine special a couple of Sundays ago. You can see some of those features online now at ESPN.com, and I'm sure they'll be replayed during the course of the draft next week. This year, I really caught my eye. The Bills looking at wide receivers. You put Sammy Watkins from Clemson, Mike Evans from Texas A&M in the studio, and when it came out, when it was all said and done, you said those two are among the top wide receiving prospects ever tested. That's pretty impressive.
It is pretty impressive, you know, and, you know, those guys are really neck and neck in terms of an analysis. You know, Mike Evans scored slightly higher than Sammy Watkins, but they're both really going to be, you know, they're going to be high performers at the next level for certain. And that position is so valuable now. I think both guys are going to have a great run, and, you know, it really depends on who's throwing them the ball so he's going to have a better career and, you know, a better year. You know, you got to have a great quarterback to get the ball in order to have great stats. So hopefully they both wind up in a good, solid situation.
You know, we know Watkins is like the all-round speedster receiver. Mike Evans, the big receiver. I was surprised in the sports science test, John, that in your acceleration test, Watkins was only 0.1 seconds faster than Mike Evans. It doesn't seem like it's very significant, but I suppose in the big picture, that's fairly significant, huh?
Yeah, in the big picture, it's significant in terms of you know, speed, in terms of what it equates to actually on the field. But you know, that added speed, we definitely don't value in our evaluation. We don't value speed as, well, if you're faster than somebody, then you're better. That definitely is not the way that it works in reality. You look at the greatest receiver of all time, Jerry Rice. He's not considered fast by anybody's standards. You know, he wasn't even the fastest person on his team when he was playing. So he's not a fast receiver, but obviously he's certainly fast enough. So when you get into parsing, you know, what it means to be a fast receiver, it's much more important that you're able to stop quickly than you're able to be achieve a very high rate of speed just running, because, you know, being able to stop is what really provides separation. So, you know, even if I'm going to analyze it, I'm not, you know, as a GM, I would not be looking at just speed, period. I would be looking at agility and the ability to stop, you know, just as much, if not more so, than the ability to run fast.
You said a couple of times, John, that, you know, you're not a GM, you don't make these football decisions, and yet it seems to me a smart football operation might, if they're not already, might include some of these tests in their evaluation of these prospects, no?
Yeah, you know, if I'm running a team, I'm certainly including them. I'm not relying on it entirely, but I certainly am including them. And, you know, when you put it underneath a broad enough array of tests, and you do look at it from a more scientific point of view, it definitely does narrow down the number of players or who someone should be focused on in each position. It's, again, it should just be another factor into the equation. But, you know, what's interesting is even in 2014, there are a lot of talent evaluators who just go based on what they see, and they say, well, you know it when you see it.
Yeah.
We like to quantify it much more than that, because I think there's so much at stake you want to get as much information as possible and know how to analyze it in the process.
John, the one-hour NFL Combine special aired a couple of Sundays ago. Will it air in its entirety again, do you know, or should we just look for it as part of ESPN's draft coverage next week?
Yeah, I think both of those things will happen. I think it'll air again and it will also they'll air again throughout the draft.
Well, okay, we'll look for it. We thank you very much for joining us tonight to talk about this, John. Thanks.
Awesome. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
John Brankus is the host of ESPN's Emmy Award-winning Sports Science, and you've seen it before on ESPN as they put together science and technology and engineering to apply it to sports. Their NFL Combine special, as John said, will be on the air again and will certainly be used when the draft picks start coming off the boards next week. They had E.J. Manuel last year as the top quarterback prospect in the draft. Eric Ebron this year, I've watched this on ESPN. They said he is one of the best tight ends they've ever tested. Can you believe that? In sports science history, they put him through a tight end gauntlet, Eric Ebron. And the Watkins-Davis stuff is pretty incredible, the comparison between those two. It's worth looking at. It's online at ESPN.com. ESPN Sports Science, the NFL Combine Special. Our thanks to John Brankus for joining us. Back to your phone calls and your thoughts on that or anything about the perfect Bills draft this year. What would it look like? Let us know. The phone line's open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. It is the John Murphy Show. We're presented by NOCO. We're live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Here live until 9 o'clock tonight with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Draft coming up. We'll take your phone calls. We'll get back to some in a minute here. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. What would make the perfect Bills draft, the successful draft for the Bills? Maybe not perfect. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Hey, if you haven't done so yet, make sure before the draft anyway, you download the Buffalo Bills Touch app for your iPad, Windows, or Android tablet. You should do it, again, before the draft. The Bills have just put up a one-of-a-kind draft preview issue on the Bills Touch app. It's loaded with all kinds of interactivity, draft prospect videos, in-depth look at the Bills draft history, which is amazing, summaries of mock drafts, a live draft board. I took a look at it today. The Bills draft history is just pretty amazing. You're reminded of some great picks and some not-so-great picks, and the way they do it interactively is pretty amazing. There's also, within the app, a stadium renovation guide. You know, if I mention this, there's like 600 construction workers here at One Bills Drive now this time of year because of the stadium renovation. You can take an interactive virtual tour, and a behind-the-scenes video is up as well, along with the photo galleries updated regularly and a lot more. So you should download it, the Buffalo Bills Touch app. It's free. You can go to the Apple iTunes Store, the Windows App Store, the Google Play Store today. Tap into this essentials tool that brings you closer to the Bills than ever before. The Buffalo Bills Touch app. They've got a whole new draft preview up at Buffalo Bills Touch app. Make sure you download that. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Greg in Erie, Pennsylvania. Hello, Greg. You're on the air.
John, thanks for taking my phone call.
Sure. Yeah.
Even though I like what I'm seeing from Eric Ebron and I like what I'm seeing from Sammy Watkins, I think that it would just be a good idea to trade down. I can see a player like Zach Martin really helping us out. I like what I'm hearing, like what I'm seeing on Draft Breakdown. He's highly scouted by Miami. So if we trade down and say a team like Dallas, who's been talked about trading up, we can move down and swipe Zach Martin before Miami gets his hands on him. If we trade down, we could open up the second round so we can follow in the footsteps we did last year. I like Troy Nicholas, like everything I'm hearing. And then we also run in Kelvin Benjamin, and his big size is really attractive to what the wide receiver core could establish. And then I really Bradley Roby from Ohio State, he really his aggressive side or his aggressiveness, and he's got good size. He's very fast. He still needs to work on He still needs to work on taking on those big wide receivers. And then I saw that defensive end from Stanford, Trent Murphy, who really can give some good depth behind Mario and Allen Branch.
Okay. One thing about how far down you can move, and if you're interested in Zach Martin, which I believe you are, right, Greg? Didn't you say that?
Yes, I did.
A lot of people believe, and like Chris Brown and I were talking about this today, that the New York Giants are interested in Zach Martin. In fact, I'm looking at my Our Lads guide right now. He has been linked in several quarters to the New York Giants, including Our Lads. They're at 12. So you want to be careful if you like him and if he's a guy you want and you want to move down and maximize your position and maybe let someone else take the number nine pick. I would think you wouldn't want to move too far down because it appears there's some interest from the Giants and Zach Martin, and you wouldn't want to, you know, move down and then not get the guy you want. You got to be careful with that. But I think overall your draft strategy is pretty sound. We'll see what happens. We're going to resume the draft discussion after the top of the hour. You're welcome to join us. The phone lines will be open, 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Also, after the top of the hour, we're going to talk about the coverage of the NFL draft. 51 hours of programming from the NFL Network. The producer, Charlie Uke, is going to join us on the line at 8 o'clock to talk about what to expect there and the logistical nightmare challenge, maybe not a nightmare, but the logistical challenge it is to put together draft coverage for the NFL Network. And a lot of talk about these Notre Dame prospects tonight. We'll talk with Eric Hansen, who covers the Fighting Irish for the South Bend Tribune. It's all coming up next hour. Another hour to go. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like this kind of party, baby!
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller! You can't stop him! How did he do it? How did he do it?
Let's go sometime.
There he is. Hold on. Let's go. Check it out.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands. This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. And as you know, the draft is coming up on Thursday, just 6 days away now. Somebody tweeted in earlier, aren't you sick of the draft coverage? No, not at all. We're doing it. You know who's really doing draft coverage and been doing it for the last several months is the NFL Network. And they're getting sent on Thursday to begin a record 51 live hours of coverage on the NFL draft, including the scene at Radio City Music Hall, team cams in 15 different war rooms, draft rooms around the NFL. They've got cameras with some of the prospects. The guy who is the orchestrator of all of it, the producer, getting set for his eighth year as the lead producer of NFL draft coverage on the NFL Network, on the line with us live right now, Charlie Uke. Charlie, thank you for being on the air with us. How are you tonight?
I'm good, John. How are you?
I can't believe you have time to do this interview. I mean, are you sleeping at all these days getting ready for the big broadcast?
No. And I'm in L.A., so it's 5 o'clock. It's really not that late.
Okay. All right. And when do you make the big move to New York? You go to New York, right, to coordinate all this?
Our staff goes to New York predominantly. Half of them are there right now, and the rest of the producers that are based here on the West Coast fly out Sunday morning.
Hey, Charlie, refresh my memory. How many years has the draft been at Radio City? Has it been there the entire time that you've been producing the draft coverage?
Yeah, the entire time I've been doing it there. So this will be, hang on, I'm using my fingers here.
Yeah,
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Yeah, so the last 8 years it's been at Radio City.
And what,
I can't speak for before that.
Yeah, I know. I guess it has been there for a while. What's that like to get into a venue like that with all of the history there, most of it, you know, theatrical and music, and to have a totally different type of production in there? Is it set up well for that sort of thing?
It is, because the event itself, again, it's the NFL conducts business. You're in there and you're realizing that this is the crown jewel of Midtown Manhattan, and that it just becomes just a celebration. It almost looks like an award show where the commissioner comes up, makes the pick, and then people go crazy. They either like the pick or they don't like the pick, and they definitely voice their opinions from all 32 teams.
You know, we've talked about this on our show, about that night, that especially round one, the Thursday night coverage, which your coverage starts Thursday night at 8 o'clock on the NFL Network. It is really the ultimate reality TV, isn't it?
It totally is, because again, we're not seeing any football. We're just seeing guys get selected, put on hats, and then the hope is, oh boy, I hope this guy fits into what we really need as Bills fans or as Patriots fans or as Bears fans. You're providing that first glimpse of what could be, which is, I think, what every NFL fan wants, which is hope for a brighter future for their team.
And Charlie, you really don't have to manufacture much drama in that show. I wouldn't think the drama is right there for the taking, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that it's changed to prime time now. It's added a little bit more drama to it, as opposed to, I think, you know, when we first started doing this draft too, it was on the weekend during the days, and now it's shifted to a 3-day event, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I think, you know, I think it's people like like it at night now. It gives them something, you know, event viewing, what we're trying to do, you know, in the NFL, which is make Thursday appointment viewing, be it with the games that are now coming on Thursday that you can watch on NFL Network or something like the draft, where Thursday's becoming a destination point now for the NFL and football in general.
It certainly is. You may know, and maybe you don't, but the ratings are just through the roof, right? I mean, there's no bigger sports television in the month of May than the NFL draft this year, right?
Sure. I mean, right now I think everyone's just kind of just champing at the bit right now to get to the draft, because normally it's been done. We've begun with business by now, but you know, it's usually late April. But now that it's in the first week of May, I think people are just ready to go. The appetite for football will always be king, I think. I'm a little biased, obviously, having working for NFL Network, but I think people right now, especially, you can tell me too, right, John? Like at nine, it's like the Bills fans, what are we going to do? What do we want to do? Are we going to move up? Are we going to move down? Are we going to take a lineman? Are we going to look at defensive backs? Like, I think everyone's ready to go to start looking at what their team's going to look like come summertime for training camp, and then finally when we get to preseason.
Charlie, I got a secret for you. We've been talking about that since the end of the Bills season last December 29th. We focused on the draft for the last 4 months. We are ready, right. That's for sure. Hey, Charlie, you're probably not as old as I am, but you may have seen the archival video and film of the way the draft used to be. ESPN setting up essentially a card table in the corner of the Marriott Marquis ballroom, and that was draft coverage. A couple of talking heads sitting there. We've come a long way since then, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the amount of viewership done and the production that's done by ESPN and NFL Network and even the local radio crews and just the local crews from everywhere, it's definitely become, as the word we use, eventized. It's not just the commissioner coming up being like, here's the pick, and then one network doing it. It's very much becoming like election coverage. It's a big event. There's no other way around it. It's an event.
Charlie, how would you distinguish NFL Network coverage compared to ESPN?
Well, the one thing I can't really speak for, obviously, for the last 8 years since I've been only dealing with NFL Network and in our truck, and I can't really see what the competition necessarily doing. But for us, the way we approach our coverage to this is we want access, and not only access, but reach as well, be it from all 32 fan bases. What can we show them that you would want to see? So it's the war rooms, it's the draft parties. We're actually even taking our coverage into outer space. We're going to get a message from a couple astronauts that are up there that are going to kick off our draft coverage with us. So I think it's just every year it's how can you top that, and you want to get it bigger and bigger and bigger. So we just keep trying to challenge ourselves with more tape, more again access within those places that the viewer at home can't take him or herself to.
NFL Network's coverage will include video footage, maybe live pictures from 15 different team facilities, including the Buffalo Bills. What are you looking to get out of that? What makes for a good picture?
What fans like seeing is, as I call it, it's the fishbowl effect, which is you get to see business being done. You're not going to hear them. They're not, these teams don't give us the audio, but you get to see people conducting business as they're choosing players. And it's that term, that the word access that I use, that if you're at home, you just can't watch front offices of the Bills or, again, the Cowboys or the Bears or whatnot. The hope is, again, that you get another glimpse of the coverage that we have and just more views, again, of as opposed to just Radio City, because it's bigger than that. It's not just in New York. The business being conducted in New York, but there's 32 fan bases, 50 states, massive amounts of countries that are interested in what's happening on that particular night in primetime on Thursday, May 8th.
Charlie Uke is our guest. He's the NFL Network coordinating producer, and he's in his eighth year now as the lead producer for the NFL Draft on the NFL Network. First round Thursday at 8 o'clock in New York at Radio City. You have the Green Room. 30 players invited this year, Charlie, but tell me what the atmosphere is like in there and what makes a good green room shot or good green room drama that you're kind of looking for.
Well, we've never had 30 people before back there, so we're expecting the green room now extends all over the full stage of Radio City, which it's never done before. I'm expecting it to be a madhouse, for lack of a better word. It's just going to be, they're bringing family members. It is Mother's Day weekend. It's a celebration for them. It's a celebration for the league, and it's a celebration for whatever team they get chosen by.
Charlie, I guess I knew that you had to have some advance word on the picks, but I read somewhere that the networks get about a minute and a half before the announcement is actually read, so you can get your video ready and your graphics ready. Is that right?
It's a little closer to a minute. It's about closer to a minute.
Yeah.
It, So, yeah, you want to get your video ready. You want to get your graphics ready. But we never tell the guys. We don't tip the picks anymore, so they get the drama. The viewer gets the drama. You know, it's been a long time since we've tipped the picks. That was many, many years ago.
Yeah.
But I think it – yeah, we get about a minute just so we can line up all the proper elements that we need.
You know, someone who's worked in TV for a little bit, a minute, it might seem like a lot to somebody waiting on that pick, but in the TV world, to get ready your graphics and video, that's not a lot, is it?
Yeah, and that's a credit to everybody, all the hardworking men and women at NFL Network, because they've organized so much stuff for us, which is including, you know, we've got tapes of over 750 different college players, almost 2,000 individual videos, highlight clips of each guy, and that's just a testament to just the staff we have, you know, back here in Los Angeles and at NFL Films and you know, those hardworking men and women have done the work. I really just look. They're the ones who are actually doing the hard work here.
The guys, the face of the broadcast, obviously Rich Eisen, Mike Mayock, Marshall Faulk, Mariucci, Michael Irvin, Dion, Daniel Jeremiah, Ian Rappaport. You got to feel pretty good about the stable of talent you have there to analyze not just the picks but the teams, the team needs, and how they're filling those needs.
Yeah, you've got a nice balance of Hall of Famers, coaches who've done this before. And Mike Mack, who's, boy, he kind of knows what he's talking about, huh? I mean,
yeah.
He definitely
yeah.
watches a lot of tape, and he's seen a lot of games, and he's usually right on. So we're lucky on our end that we've got guys who are not only passionate about the event, but passionate about football as well.
Do you want your analysts to disagree from time to time? I mean, there'd probably be some natural disagreements, but are you looking for those, like, conflict points between some of those guys?
Yeah, if it's natural. We don't want to just manufacture debate. We want natural debate, absolutely. So if they disagree, look, Johnny Manziel is going to be a flashpoint, whether you're going to be on one side or the other, whether you believe in him. But I believe there's, you know, between the discussions we've had with the guys, there's going to be a lot of disagreement on certain players and who should go where and where do they fit and how do they fit, especially with whatever team they get drafted by. So they're naturally going to disagree anyway. And if you've seen a lot of our coverage, you know, Michael Irvin and Marshall Faulk, they disagree about anything. You could throw out their red or blue and they would argue which color is better. So
you mentioned Johnny Manziel. Not only is he a biggest name but in the draft, but as one of our draft experts over the last few weeks pointed out, maybe the most polarizing figure in the draft in a long, long time, with different opinions on both sides.
Yeah, it's different now because back, you know, a guy like Tim Tebow probably now too would be a little bit more polarizing too with the Twitter and the Instagram and all that, and I added the on purpose, all that stuff. But he's Johnny Manziel's the only college football player I know. If he's sitting courtside at a Heat game, that's on TMZ, that's on a lot of different news outlets, and we haven't seen someone like him in a long time, and I think fans are gonna be real interested to see where he falls, and I you know, who knows what's gonna happen. If I knew that, I wouldn't be talking to you guys right now. I'd be somewhere else.
Yeah. Hey, Charlie, yeah. I see part of the coverage on Thursday, the first day of the draft, includes red carpet coverage. I didn't even know there was a red carpet at Radio City.
Well, yeah, again, just as it's gotten bigger and bigger, the arrivals will be unveiled with a red carpet, and, you know, it's going to be, on our end, it's going to be produced by a wonderful senior producer. His name's Chris Wirtz. He's overseeing the whole event, and he's kind of, you know, we line it up so we know that what celebrities come in, or, you know, luminaries and the players themselves come in, and it's I guess it's our homage to the Oscars minus the, you know, the Angelina Jolies and the Brad Pitts of the world. But again, the good thing is we got a guy here at NFL Network by the name of Chris Wirtz who's a machine, man. He knows how to crank that content out, and he knows exactly when he wants. And when he wants them to arrive. So we're lucky on our end with that.
Charlie, as we said, it's the eighth year you've been producing the NFL draft coverage on NFL Network. What have you found to be the most challenging part of putting this show together?
The toughest part is the speed. And I know that may sound crazy when each team has 10 minutes to pick, but it really moves fast. And you know, having done live television and being in the truck, it's just sometimes picks get piled up, and we have commercials we got to take, and there's business to be conducted, but there's a television show going on, and that's the most difficult part. Sometimes in a couple years ago, we were actually three picks in, and we hadn't revealed the pick that happened, like the first pick that happened. So it's always an interesting balance between, you know, the league has to conduct and the teams have to conduct business, and ESPN and ourselves are trying to conduct a television show, but in the end, it always works out.
I know you do a variety of other things at NFL Network. Is this the most fun thing you do in the course of your job?
This in the Super Bowl, just because of this, the magnitude and the feel of it, which is just, it's, you know, this is fun. This is fantasy football for adults. It's, again, like what we were saying earlier, which is hope for a better team, hope for that the player makes sense and that that changes the face of a franchise, which is what I think we all hold on as not only fans of our teams that we like, but football fans in general and fantasy football fans, which, by the way, you can sign up for fantasy football on NFL.com for the first time ever this early, which will be on Thursday, May 8th, if you want to tell people in Buffalo.
Okay. Did somebody just pass, like, a promo card in front of you or something, Charlie?
No. That just came up the top right of my head when I thought about it, yeah.
Hey, good luck with the broadcast. Thank you for coming on the air with us tonight. We'll be watching all over the next couple of days on the – well, we watch it every night when we sit here. But thank you for coming on with us, and good luck with the broadcast next week.
Sean, one quick thing for the good people of Buffalo, too. In the 7 o'clock Eastern hour on Thursday, May 8th, we're running a really, really nice piece on advice for Jadeveon Clowney, and Bruce Smith is going to be offering him some advice as well, which I think will interest your fans and your listeners as well. That'll be sometime in the 7 p.m. Eastern hour, an hour before the draft happens. I think people won't want to hear what Mr. Smith has to say to Mr. Clowney.
Yeah, they both could be potential first overall picks. That's right. That makes sense. Thanks very much, Charlie.
Thank you very much. Okay. Have a good night, guys.
Charlie Yook is the NFL Network coordinating producer for the NFL Draft on the NFL Network. You heard him talk about the show coming up Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Bruce Smith addressing basically Jadeveon Clowney. And, of course, the draft kicks off Thursday, May 8th, 8 o'clock. Rounds 2 and 3 a week from tonight, 7 o'clock. Rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday, May 10th, starting at 12 noon. All of it on the NFL Network. Charlie Yook has been doing that for a while, as he said, his eighth year conducting the or being the producer for the NFL draft coverage on the NFL Network. What an undertaking. Red carpet, Radio City Music Pit. They put Ian Rappaport in the Radio City Music Pit. They've got Urban Meyer, college coaches Urban Meyer, Jimbo Fisher, David Shaw. They're going to be part of their draft coverage. A major undertaking. It's a major event. I mean, it's like I said, it's the number one thing on TV in sports in the month of May. Stanley Cup playoffs and NBA playoffs notwithstanding, there'll be many more viewers for the NFL Network coverage for the NFL draft coming up starting next Thursday, 8 o'clock. We've got coverage here as well on our show starting next Thursday night. We'll be on the air 7 to the end of the first round on Thursday, 7 to 9 on Friday, and then, of course, our flagship in Buffalo, WGR, will have coverage on Saturday when the draft starts at 12 noon, so be ready for that. And we want to remind you, too, we got a little TV show of our own, nothing quite the scale of what the NFL Network has planned. We don't have 51 hours of coverage. We've got 1 hour of coverage of the draft, a preview show. It's the 2014 Buffalo Bills Draft Special. It's coming up next Wednesday, May 7th. It airs at 7 o'clock on Channel 7 in Buffalo, WKBW-TV. It airs in Rochester on WHAM-TV, Channel 13. I'll be there. Chris Brown, Alexandra Vitale of the Bills team here, Jeff Russo. We've got interviews with Doug Whaley. Jim Monas and I sit down and look at the video of some of the top prospects, and we get the Bills Director of Player Personnel's take on the video of the players, the top players in the draft. E.J. Manuel will relive his big draft day from a year ago. I'll talk with Charles Davis of the NFL Network. Much more next Wednesday night, May 7th, our 2014 Buffalo Bills Draft Special. 7 o'clock on Channel 7 in Buffalo, WKBW-TV, and in Rochester on WHAM-TV, Channel 13. The draft is coming. I can tell it's not that far away now. Speaking of the draft, we've talked about this, and we put this out there. You can join us and phone in your thoughts on this. What constitutes a successful draft for the Buffalo Bills this year? What do you need to see? A specific player, a specific position, a number of positions? I mentioned how in my perfect world, and again, it's not fantasy land, but I'd love it if the Bills could somehow find a way to get the receiver Mike Evans. I'd love it with another pick if they could get one of the maybe second-tier offensive tackles. You know, Kwanjo, maybe. Moses Morgan of Virginia, maybe. I'd love it if they wound up with linebacker Chris Borland from Wisconsin. I'd love it if they wound up with a big running back. Your thoughts. What constitutes a perfect draft, or a successful draft anyway, for the Buffalo Bills? Give us a call. The phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show if you want to get into that. What constitutes a successful draft for the Buffalo Bills? Here's one from Ange, a tweet that says, what would be a perfect draft for the Bills? Getting Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, the defensive back. Yeah, some people like that guy. Does he fit with the Bills' needs? Not necessarily, but some people like that guy. John Edwards tweets in, trade down. He thinks that would make for a successful draft for the Buffalo Bills. Brian King tweets in one of the top three or four tackles in the first, then the tight end from Notre Dame in the second. Not sure wide receiver is a need this year. Well, give us your thoughts. What do you think? What constitutes a successful draft for the Buffalo Bills? 803-0550 is the number, or toll free 1-888-550-2550. Some people think in the draft you need starters in the first, you need three starters in the draft. John Gruden, who is, of course, an analyst on Monday Night Football on ESPN, has built some successful Super Bowl-winning teams. Three starters in the draft. Gruden was asked on a conference call earlier this week what his expectations were when he was coaching in Tampa, and what did he want to get out of the draft?
Well, you'd like to have your draft choices make your football team number one. Oh. You know, when I used to work for the 49ers years ago, before the salary cap era, I heard if you had too many rookies starting for you, you weren't a very good team. To be honest with you, you don't want to have five rookie starters. You want good starters. I don't care if they're rookies or second or third year players, but because of the modern era and the salary cap, obviously you want as many rookies as you can to be on the field because they're the most affordable. But most importantly, let's get good players that are on the front line at every position, or we won't be here for very long. The worst thing is saying we had a good draft because we got five rookie starters, and then 1 year later you want to replace all five of them.
That's John Gruden from ESPN talking about his view of what constitutes a successful draft, and it has changed. I mean, I've witnessed that. It used to be if you had too many rookies, it was the sign of a bad team. In some respects, it still is, but you really want rookies to contribute. You want rookies and first and second year players to develop into major contributors on your roster because those are the most economical ones. Everybody, you know, Russell Wilson. It's a great deal for Seattle that their quarterback is moving into his third year. That's what it's all about in the NFL these days with the rookie wage scale and the salary cap. A lot of focus on the receivers for the Buffalo Bills. Mike Evans, Texas A&M, Sammy Watkins of Clemson. John Gruden was asked if Sammy Watkins and Mike Evans and whether Mike Evans and Watkins, how they differ, the distinction between those two. It's a pretty big distinction, but John Gruden has some thoughts on those two top receivers in the draft.
I think Evans is a completely different receiver than Watkins, at least on the tape that I've seen. Evans plays on the right side of the formation. He's in a no-huddle offense. He plays on the right every play. They don't switch sides. He doesn't go in motion. He's not in the slot. He's a big X receiver that, to me, is a prototype split end, much like Tampa already has in Vincent Jackson, a guy that is a dynamic force when the ball is in the air. He can go get it. He's a threat to run with it after the catch, and when he wants to, he can be a dominant blocker. But he really is very similar to Vincent Jackson of the Buccaneers already. I don't know if you want two of those on the same team. I don't know that you don't. Depends on what Jeff Tedford has in store.
That's John Gruden talking specifically about Mike Evans and how he might fit with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who were there at 7. A lot of conjecture that's where the Bucs are looking, Mike Evans, and a lot of Bills-related conjecture that if they want Mike Evans, they got to move up to 6, make a deal to replace Atlanta at number 6 to get Mike Evans. Well, it remains to be seen whether that can happen. We've looked at the draft tables. It would require, I would think, at least a second round for the Bills to send Atlanta's way to move up those three spots from 9 to 6, at least a second round, maybe a little bit more, and it remains to be seen whether he is the type of guy the Bills are really looking at. I thought it was interesting, Gruden's take on Mike Evans, too. He's in prototypical split end, plays on the right side every play, does not switch sides, does not go in motion. You wonder if that's the way he will be playing in the NFL, especially in his first year. Some interesting things to think about. John Gruden's take. Monday Night Football's John Gruden, who understands offense, understands quarterbacks and receivers, and obviously has some things to say about the draft coming up next week. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk about some of the Notre Dame prospects when we return. Eric Hansen of the South Bend Tribune will join us. He covers the Fighting Irish football team for his newspaper. And we've talked a lot about Zach Martin. We've talked about the tight end from Notre Dame. There are some players coming out of the draft this year from Notre Dame that deserve our attention, and we thought we'd go to a guy who has seen him play. So that's coming up next. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Well, if you go to BuffaloBills.com and if you look at our video draft preview that's up today, you'll find an extensive draft preview with highlights of offensive lineman from Notre Dame, Zach Martin. And check that out. We've got comments from him from the Combine and some highlights of his performance there. Zach Martin's been on our radar screen since the Senior Bowl when we first got a chance to meet him and talk with him a little bit. He's on everybody's radar now. He has rocketed up, I believe, on the draft charts. And joining us live on the line right now is the beat writer for the South Bend Tribune who covers Notre Dame football. His name is Eric Hansen. Eric, thank you for being on the air with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, Eric, I got a chance at the Senior Bowl in Mobile way back in January to sit down and talk and meet Zach Martin, interview him a little bit. What a great kid, first and foremost. He just seems like a really good guy.
Well, he is, and he had great, you know, chemistry with his teammates, and it's one of the reasons why Notre Dame had such a good offensive line last year. Just his chemistry with young linemen. They had a bunch of injuries, and they still, you know, finished with one of their best sack totals in almost, you know, three decades.
When we were at the Senior Bowl, when you talked to people about Zach Martin and his draft prospects, most people figured, you know, maybe a second rounder. Here we are 6 days before the draft. People are not only talking about him as a first rounder, but like top half of the first round, maybe, you know, ninth or tenth pick in the draft. Are you surprised by that?
A little bit. I thought he was a really good player, and I just thought, well, you know, there's a difference between the college game and the pro game, and I know that he's only 6'4". His arms aren't the ideal length, and I thought, well, maybe, you know, people at that level feel like he just wouldn't project. But, you know, during the Senior Bowl workouts, did very well at offensive tackle, and now, you know, people are kind of looking at him as, well, he could be a center, he could be a guard, he could be an offensive tackle. And so the fact that that offensive tackle position is still in play for him, I think has helped him push up the draft boards rather than sinking a little bit.
Yeah. In fact, I was reading some of your recent work. Eric, you mentioned how coming out of high school, Zach Martin back then was sort of underappreciated, overlooked a little bit, under-recruited, I guess, based on where he is now, huh?
I would say, I mean, he didn't make the Rivals. 250 top players in the country, where seven of his teammates did in that particular class. He was the number 22 offensive tackle in that class. And it's interesting because the next year, Chantrell Henderson, who ended up at Miami, was down to Notre Dame and two other schools. And he was the number one player in the country overall. And I think a lot of Notre Dame fans just really had a lot of angst over Chantrell picking a different school. As it turned out, Zach Martin was certainly the better college player and right now is the better pro prospect. You know, he's been a starter after redshirting his true freshman year behind Sam Young, who played a little football for the Buffalo Bills. Then he came in and became a four-year starter and actually was a much better college player than Sam, who was a five-star guy coming out of high school.
We're on the line with Eric Hansen. He covers Notre Dame football for the South Bend Tribune. Zach Martin was the most valuable player in the Pinstripe Bowl last year, right?
He was, and it's rare for an offensive lineman, but I would have even picked him as the MVP of the team. I think he was Notre Dame's best player. And again, it's not just what he does with his own game. It's making, he played, you know, with a couple of true freshmen on the offensive line last year because of injuries. A couple freshmen had to step in and play. He helped them. I know Troy Nicholas said every down, Zach was kind of in his ear, the tight end that came out a year early and was helping him with his game. So, I mean, he's just such a steadying influence. He makes everybody around him better, and that's hard to do as an offensive tackle.
His brother plays on the offensive line for the Irish, right?
He does. He's a center for them. He'll be the starting center again next year. It's interesting because in Notre Dame's system, Harry Heistand's the offensive line coach, and all five guys who start next year will be former or current offensive tackles. They were recruited as offensive tackles, and then Harry kind of moves them around and converts the best five linemen to give them on the field.
Now, Zach has played left tackle, right, all 4 years at Notre Dame, right? I know he's got some flexibility, but he's been at left tackle, hasn't he?
He has. You know, they felt like he was so athletic. You know, when I talked to Sam Young about him about a month ago, we were talking, he said from the day that kid walked on campus, he had the best footwork of any lineman, including myself, he said. So, you know, his footwork was just too good. He was too athletic that they really didn't want to mess around with him. They just kind of planted him at left tackle. And then when Brian Kelly came in, he left him at left tackle. He originally was signed by Charlie Weiss and ended up playing for Brian Kelly.
I'm guessing, Eric, that whoever drafts Zach Martin is going to probably start him out at tackle, left or right side, and then let him kind of find his own level. Do you think that's how it'll probably play out?
You know, in talking with people, there are a lot of folks that are of that mind. You know, I think it depends on what team he ends up with. And some are more open to a 6'4" tackle than other teams. But I think he'll do well wherever he is. I mean, this is a guy that went up against some very elite players this year. The last time he gave up a sack was the first game of the 2012 season when there was a miscommunication between himself and Everett Golson, the quarterback at the time. Was the first snap of the season. Since then, zero sacks. And he went against guys like Stanford's Trent Murphy, Chiloquay, Calhoun, Leonard Williams from USC, Michigan's Frank Clark. Those guys had 47 sacks between them in 2013. Zach gave up zero against them. And even when they played Aaron Donald and Pitt late in the season, they were moving Aaron Donald around the line. They put him on the edge against Zach a couple times. He finished that game with a career-low one tackle. So, I mean, Zach went against great competition and I think, you know, played big in big games.
And I guess last thing about Zach, Eric, what do you think? Is he a first-rouner, like top half of the first round? Do you think that's where he'll wind up going?
I think he will, and I think he deserves to be. I just don't see question marks with him. I think what question marks there were, you know, God-given things, arm length and height, and I think he answered that in the Senior Bowl and answered it through, again, the elite competition he faced. I mean, he's a solid guy as far as a citizen. Again, his so much value in being so smart, making the people around him better. You know, I don't know how he fits into Buffalo's picture because I really don't study what their needs are, but I think whatever team gets him will be very happy.
One more thing. I'm trying to remember. Is he an Indiana native?
He is an Indianapolis kid. He came from Chatard High School. His dad actually works for the NCAA in Indianapolis.
Okay. We're on the line with Eric Hansen, who covers Notre Dame football for the South Bend Tribune. You write recently, Eric, that there may be as many as 10 Notre Dame players chosen over the 3 days of the draft. That's a big day for any school, including Notre Dame, isn't it?
It is. The last time they had that many was 20 years ago. And, you know, that was the group with Bryant Young and Aaron Taylor. They had 10, and that was the first year the draft went down to 7 rounds. And, you know, just 3 years ago, they only had one player drafted. So it's gone 1, 4, 6, and probably 8 to 10 in this draft.
And that's significant, isn't it? Because it's really the first group that Coach Brian Kelly has recruited from the beginning of the process to the end, huh?
Right. Some of these guys, I mean, not everybody in this class. Zach was recruited by Charlie, for example, but Brian developed Zach Martin. I'm sure Charlie would have developed him too. But there are. It's the first group that's included in this. Stephon Tuitt, Troy Nicholas, George Atkinson were the first guys recruited start to finish by Brian.
And I guess Coach Kelly is not too crazy about the fact that one of this group, the tight end Troy Nicholas, comes out after as a junior entry. That didn't sit well with Coach Kelly, huh?
No, he was pretty upset about it. And I think everybody, including Troy's parents, thought he was going to stay in school for a fourth year. I think where Brian Kelly feels, you know, I think where he's comfortable is if there's a guy like Lewis Nix that has a fifth year and doesn't take it but gets his degree, he's good with it. But I think he was, you know, he gets alarmed when these guys come out and they still have another year to finish school. He wasn't too happy about that. And he also talked about that's going to be part of his recruiting philosophy. If somebody openly says, you know what, Coach, I'm only interested in being at Notre Dame 3 years, I don't care if I get my degree, he said he'll pass on them.
Well, that aside, what can you tell us about Troy Nicholas and how do you think he projects as an NFL prospect?
Well, he's a physical freak. The first day that they moved him from defensive outside linebacker to tight end, he capsized two blocking sleds when he was learning how to block as a tight end. They call him Hercules,
you know, he's a pretty smooth route runner. He's not a guy like Tyler Eifert that you can flex out. He's a guy that's definitely an inline tight end. I think he's going to be an outstanding blocker in the NFL, maybe even an elite blocker. And I think as far as a receiver, you know, that's where his growth curve is. And we'll see how good of a receiver he can be. But he's certainly athletic enough. You know, right now he tends to run over people rather than trying to run away from them. It's entertaining for us, but that's probably not eventually what you want to do with it.
Yeah.
But he certainly has all the physical tools to be a very good tight end.
And Eric, you've already mentioned the name of Lewis Nix, who by all accounts is a likely first-rounder, and he looks like one of those rare guys who might be born to be a nose tackle in a 3-4 defense. Is that right?
Well, he is, and he's dropped some weight. You know, he played in the 350s almost his entire career at 6'2 and some change for Notre Dame. He's down to 330 now, so it's going to be interesting to see if he can stay down there and also, you know, if that improves his quickness. He was a pretty quick guy, and he had pretty good lateral movement. But, you know, a lot of people feel like he's not a 43 kind of guy. He wouldn't be an elite defensive tackle, but as a, you know, kind of a zero technique guy, a nose guard, he would fit very well in the 34 defense.
You know, I don't have my list in front of me, but do you know offhand, Eric, is Zach Martin, was he invited to the to Radio City next week?
I believe he was, and he turned it down. He wants to watch the draft at home with his family. In fact, his one of his best friends, Chris Watt, who will also be drafted at some point, is going to watch the draft with him, and he's going to watch it with his family, which is kind of Zach style anyways.
Good for him. Hey, Eric, we appreciate you coming on with us tonight to talk about these guys. Who knows? Zach Martin could wind up in one of these Buffalo Bills uniforms. We'll see next week. Thank you very much for spending time with us this Friday night.
Thanks for having me on.
Eric Hansen covers the Irish, the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame for the South Bend Tribune. Some outstanding insight on a trio of players from Notre Dame, including the offensive lineman Zach Martin, including the tight end Troy Nicholas, and Lewis Nix, the defensive tackle, the nose tackle. Zach Martin climbing up the draft boards. As I said, when we talked to him at the Senior Bowl, people were like, yeah, decent player, pretty good player. He had a good Senior Bowl week. Obviously, he has tested well since then. I don't think he did a lot of the workouts at the Combine. He had some sort of a lingering injury, nothing serious. And now, all of a sudden, he's mentioned as, you know, the fourth tackle, if not the third. I mean, he could wind up being drafted ahead of Taylor Lewan, I think, maybe. All right, we'll take a break, come back with more. The phone line's open for your comments and questions, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Eric Hansen of the South Bend Tribune for joining us. Good insight on Zach Martin and the tight end, Nicholas. And, interesting. I don't know who the Bills are going to draft. Everybody asks me everywhere I go. I don't know. But it's been very interesting to me to see Zach Martin's name climb up the ranks of draftable first round and now top half of the first round prospects. People like this guy. If you want to see for yourself, go to BuffaloBills.com on our website. And if you scroll down just a little bit, you'll see our draft preview. I think I did this one. Jay Harris, producer, is this mine? I think it is. The Zach Martin video preview with sound from Zach and some highlights of his Notre Dame playing career. Can you confirm, please, Jay?
John, Zach Martin was 5'2", and I will let you
that's
know.
That's today.
That's
yeah.
him.
Yeah. That was me.
Let's see.
Oh, we're
is
listening
this you?
To it now.
Is this you?
For months.
That's
yes.
you, John.
Zach
there
Martin.
You go.
I didn't really need that kind of proof, but it is confirmed.
John, it
yeah, I wrote 16 of them, so that was one of them. It's up right now on the website, the Zach Martin draft preview. Tomorrow, Chris Brown takes over with a preview of the Minnesota defensive lineman, an intriguing prospect, Rashid Hageman. He had an outstanding Senior Bowl week, too. Chris Brown has the video preview of him. It's all up right now at BuffaloBills.com. Check him out. And as we continue to talk about Zach Martin, Mike Mayock of the NFL Network, one of the acknowledged draft experts, on a conference call yesterday had some thoughts on the Notre Dame offensive lineman, Zach Martin.
I love the kid. And even though I have him fourth as a tackle, he'd be my number one center or my number one guard. I believe that he is the only player in this draft that could start and play at a high level at all five offensive line positions. And I think as we get closer to this draft, he will be the fourth offensive lineman off the board. And I think he's coming off the board somewhere between about 9 and 13. You know, I just, he's too good, he's too safe, and there are too many offensive line needs out there. There are a bunch of teams that look at him and say he could start at right tackle day one, and maybe we move him inside the guard or center in the next year. So he's awesome. He's about as safe a player as there is in this draft. And if you want him, you better get him early.
High praise from Mike Mayock of the NFL Network for Notre Dame offensive lineman Zach Martin. You heard him say it. He thinks he'll go between 9 and 13. You know who's at 9. 12 is the New York Giants. Both teams have been linked to Zach Martin, the offensive lineman from Notre Dame. We'll see. I mean, is he on your wish list of the guys you want to see the Bills come out of the draft with? Probably not. Can the Bills move down a little bit and still get him? Probably. As we pointed out to a caller earlier on, probably not too far, but probably maybe be able to move down and get Zach Martin. And I think if Jake Matthews and Robinson are gone, maybe if Ebron's gone, if the two top receivers, Watkins and Evans, are gone, if Khalil Mack and Jadeveon Clowney are gone by number 9, Zach Martin, I think, is in play at least as the Bills draft pick there, or perhaps later in the round. We've got 3 more days of this kind of speculation coming up next week. We'll be back on the air Monday night at 7 o'clock with more guests. Obviously, we'll touch on the NFL draft, and it starts, as you know, on Thursday night, and we'll be here on draft night Thursday night with a long edition, the first round edition of the John Murphy Show. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight, though. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Tom Reitz is our engineer. Our producer is Jay Harris, and Jeff Matthews is the Bills' director of broadcasting. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday night at 7, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.